representing His Eminence, our Imperious Leader.
And welcome back to another edition of Subject to Discussion Live on LVRocks.com as well as on S2DRadio.com. Thank you for everybody listening to the program live as well as in the chat room. And Anorexic Pillows in the chat room, Chris1019, Giorgio, NetRanger, and myself. And thank you very much for joining us once again for Subject to Discussion. The big night tonight was the premiere of Katie Couric on the CBS Evening News. I thought it was pretty good. Walter Cronkite actually introduced her, and it wasn't too bad of a program. Moved pretty fast. It's only 26 minutes without the commercials. And so I thought it was outstanding. And then, tonight after the Political News Digest, we'll join after a music interlude and a little soundbite from Keith Olbermann. We'll be joined by Rob Call. He is the publisher and one of the editors of opednews.com. It's a hybrid op-ed blog and social networking site designed as a tool for progressive activists. He's also a president of Future Health Incorporated and organizer of conferences on the brain, biofeedback, optimal functioning. I need some of that today, I think. Positive psychology. Oh, I need a lot of that. And the arts and art science and application of story. So it's interesting. Quite a background there. And then in the second hour, Jamie will be back, the Scully girl, to go over the Stargate episodes from 2 weeks ago. And then we'll give a preview of what's coming up this week on the Stargates, because we all know they're off last week in honor of Labor Day. And then after her would be the mad rocket scientist of Subject to Discussion. Dr. Net Ranger will be joining us. Koenig will be taking the week off, and we'll go over the fall TV season and what to look forward to. He says he's seen most of the pilots and everything of the new shows, so hopefully he'll give us some insight on what looks good and what looks not so good. And so on paper, it looks like a pretty good program, so we'll see how it develops, you know what I mean? And after the program or during the program, you could go on to the S2DRadio.com site, and there's a on the side there on the left, you can click and take over to the message board, which is over on MediaBoulevard.com, and you can comment on the program and let me have it or not let me have it, whatever you see fit. And before I get into the news digest, I want to go over what was in the USA today. And of course, they're starting this drumbeat of 5 years after September 11th. That's already been starting for the last couple weeks. And in the USA Today, it's got the pictures on there from some of the victims with their significant others and so on. And on the right, it says deadline to break Taliban 6 months. I thought this war was over, huh? NATO must win over Afghans now. You know, so this war we should have been waging against the Taliban and Al Qaeda in Afghanistan. Of course, we abandoned that to go off on this a 3-hour tour of Gilligan's Island in Iraq, and so now NATO is starting to have problems over in Afghanistan as well. And also they have a story about the suspected cop killer sought in New York, and then IRS sends collection agencies calling for back taxes. So that's interesting. And then in the life section, they talk about the evening news may have reason to smile over Katie Couric. And again, I thought it was an outstanding program, so I wish her well on that. And they talk about the new TV season tonight. The House comes back, Standoff, and on My Network TV, which is the cast-off stations from the CW and the UPN, Desire and Fashion House will be starting with Bo Derek and Morgan Fairchild. And they talk about the crocodile hunter dying and that freak accident with the stingray and other than that. So, and in the Review Journal, the Las Vegas Review Journal, they talk about adding up the immigrants by voter registrations. They talk about that. Kofi Annan is seeking soldiers' release, so he's personally mediating between Israel and Hezbollah to get those Israeli soldiers returned. And then what else? In the Las Vegas section, we're talking about some cross-dresser. Las Vegans seek support for many things that may want to keep hidden. So quite a few cross-dressers here in Vegas. So, and with that, move on to the news digest. And before I dive into that, I've been hearing how the Republicans have this funny little line. We're just being funny about calling the Democrats the defeatocrats. So I thought, well, if they can do it, why not join in? I have the Repulsivican Party. There you go, the Repulsivican Party. And how about the Repetrokin Party, Repetrokin Party? And how about the Grand Out of Touch Party, or the Grand Out of Control Party, or the Grand Out of Ideas Party, the Grand Old Fascist Party, and the Grand Out of Their Minds Party. How about that? So, and as for Rumsfeld, the Secretary of the Indefensible, the Secretary of the Rose-Colored Glasses, and the Secretary of the Fascists. How about that? And like I said, this Rumsfeld's in right now. Currently, he's in the hospital recovering from a rotator cuff surgery in the hospital. And I said, while they're at it, better give him a rectal exam. They can pull his head out of his ass and realize that there's a problem over there with his plan. And maybe they find a plan for a rack in his ass and pull it out while they're at it. So, and he says, so, there you go. Absolutely. And then the Democrats should use Rumsfeld as their own, like, pinata for the midterm elections. I mean, he's ripe. I mean, just keep whacking that pinata. You know, it's a gift that keeps on giving with Rumsfeld. Just bash him, bash him, bash him. And because he is hated across the country for this bungled BS in Iraq. But I mean, again, the ultimate responsibility falls on Bush. So, I mean, a lot of his anger, while, you know, Rumsfeld should shoulder some of it, also Bush should get some of this anger. Or we can use Rumsfeld as a steer, a dead steer in the slaughterhouse, getting ready, to, getting prepared to be sent to the grocery store. First, there is the cube steak, which could be the way he flies off the mouth, a little nugget. And then the ribeye, which could be the non-accountability. Remember this for the Pat Tillman case scandal. Remember that? The first they said he was killed in an enemy fire, and then they found out it was a friendly fire, and then they didn't want to reveal it until after the memorial to hurt the recruiting drives and all this BS. And where's the accountability from that? Nobody got fired over that. That's ridiculous. And also his... where are we at here? And next would be the Porterhouse, which is the off-budget request for more money for Iraq. And then the New York steak could be his holier-than-thou attitude. He makes no mistakes attitude. When he's up there with Hillary, I make no mistakes. I never said, you have a Dickens of a time finding I said anything about rosy scenarios for Iraq. And then Hillary pretty much laid him out with his remarks and blasted him. And the best part of the filet would be the lack of coherent plan for Iraq and refusing to acknowledge the civil war in Iraq. So... And so now the news digest, we'll get on to that. And from today, we had from CNN, they had, actually Giorgio just dropped in something, TA's New York Times, many 9/11 workers have lung issues. Report says, researchers found that almost 70% of workers in the cleanup suffered new or worsened respiratory symptoms. Yeah, no kidding. That's been going on, too. Where's the research into that and how to help these poor people who are suffering from respiratory issues since 9/11? Yeah, we should take care of those people. Those people put their lives in the line to rescue those people and pull the dead out of the rubble. Voters are anti-incumbent and angry, a new poll finds. This is from CNN from today. Most Americans are angry about something when it comes to how the country is run, and they are more likely than in previous years to vote for a challenger this November, a new poll suggests. The majority of Americans surveyed, and a higher percentage than recorded during the same time last year, said things in the United States are going badly. Among this year's respondents, 29% said pretty badly, and 25%, up from 15% a month ago, answered very badly. This is not good news for the GOP, you know, the grand out-of-touch party. Of these, 76% said there was something to be angry about in the country today. By comparison, 59% felt that way when polled in February. So it's only getting worse. The number of respondents who considered the economy somewhat poor rose from 31% to 34%. And a number who called the economy very poor jumped from 16% to 22%. And a majority, 55%, said they are more likely to back a challenger in races on this year's ballot, such anti-incumbent sentiment is higher than the 48% recorded as pro-challenger in a similar survey in 1994 when the GOP took control of both houses of Congress. So, I mean, it's adding up. It's adding up to be a horrible year. But then, of course, you got the Bush and all them, saying anybody who disagrees with them is a Nazi sympathizer. Condoleezza Rice said that something about the Civil War. You know, like, oh, come on. I mean, they're really reaching for this, aren't they? It's just disgusting. And I say Keith Olbermann today ripped Bush a new one over that. So hopefully... I'll get some sound bites for that for next week. And this next one's also from today, from the Situation Report on CNN about an immigration overhaul all but abandoned by the GOP. This is the thing they're pounding the drums on just a few months ago. Now they're letting it float away. Tuesday as they prepare for a critical pre-election legislative stretch. The congressional Republican leaders have all but abandoned a broad overhaul of immigration laws and instead will concentrate on national security issues that they believe play to their political strength. With Congress reconvening Tuesday after blah, 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 a long break, they're on. They're only back for 5 weeks, and they go off again on their vacation until after the elections. So now they're going to abandon their immigration overhaul for this. So much for the, we have to do this, to prevent who knows who's going to come in over those borders. We have to stop it, and blah, 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 blah. So now they realize it's going to be too politically divisive for them to keep pounding the drums on the immigration overhaul. Because you know what? Because the Senate and the Congress, they can't get along on their own bills. The GOP Senate and the GOP Congress can't seem to get along. So Crimson Crystal said, GOP, I saw greedy old pigs hanging from a bridge. The Bush bashing extravaganza. And speaking of horror shows, November looking like a horror show for Republicans, says the Chicago Tribune from today. As the congressional election season kicks off in earnest this Labor Day weekend, nobody is talking about realignment. Rather, Republicans can see they are struggling simply to cling to power. Numerous political analysts are forecasting that a tidal wave of voter dissatisfaction will wash Republicans out of office on November 7th and possibly hand control of the House back to Democrats, who are poised for gains in the Senate and win back governorships. Charlie Cook is a founder of the Cook Political Report. He said the Republicans had a great run for a while, and it's over. So, hallelujah, absolutely. And I said, just give us the House. That's all you want. You know, as much as I'm a Democrat, all you want is the House. You know. And this is from a blog from today, the Carpetbagger Report. Condi Rice, there she is, a girl with a David Letterman smile. She equates war critics with slavery supporters. I mean, this is just nuts, you know. Last week, top administration officials, including Bush, Cheney, and Rumsfeld, you know, the Three Stooges, Mo, Larry, and Curly, equated the war in Iraq with fighting Nazis in World War II. As part of this analogy, the Bush gang made its critics out to be Neville Chamberlain, and if troop redeployment in Iraq is the moral equivalent of appeasing Hitler. As if that weren't quite enough, offensive enough, Condoleezza Rice has upped the ante a bit, suggesting that opponents of the war are the moral equivalent of those who would tolerate slavery in 19th century America. She has some nerve. This administration has no shame, you know, no shame at all. They'll use any kind of a smear. Now we're Nazi appeasers. You know, maybe Bush and Cheney and them and Rumsfeld, they're looking for Nazis. They should start looking in the mirror for once. You know what I'm saying? That's how they're going to go with it. Why not? Throw it right back at them. I don't want to get too riled up. This is also from another blog called The Rising Hegemon. That's strategery. Well, they sure bragged last week about the downturn in violence since their newest Plan B. Speaking of Plan B, maybe Bush and them should start taking some of that Plan B to get rid of this botched, abort this BS plan in Iraq, huh? As usual in Iraq, so much for that crap. The number of killings in Iraq's capital soared last week despite a American-led crackdown, with morgue workers receiving as many bodies as they had during the first 3 weeks of the month combined. Wow. At least 394 other people were killed around Iraq last week in other violence, including bombings, mortar attacks, and gunfights, Iraqi authorities said. Also, they found 30 bodies today scattered around.
Yeah. Holy cow!
This Crimson Tiger, yeah. Giorgio put in there that Bush delivers strong warning to Iran. President describes Tehran as equally dangerous to Al-Qaeda while renewing pledge to achieve complete victory in war and terrorism. Oh, come on. Who is the let me know. You know, I'm not the smartest guy in the room. Obviously, we got a rocket scientist in there. But who is the head of state of terrorism that's going to sign the armistice on the aircraft carrier? Please let me know. You know, there's been terrorism since the civilization was born. They accuse the Democrats of abusing the slavery issue. Mm-hmm. There you go. And also from today, from the New York Times, but from Frank Rich, Donald Rumsfeld's dance with the Nazis. It's so bad. It's sad. It's really sad. But you know what? You got to laugh at some of this stuff. It's just nonsense how desperate Bush and them are to cling the power. They throw the Nazis in and everything else with it. It's ridiculous. What made Mr. Rumsfeld's speech noteworthy wasn't its toxic effort to impugn the patriotism of administration critics by conflating dissent on Iraq with cut-and-run surrender and incipient treason. That's old news. No, what made Mr. Rumsfeld's performance special was the preview it offered of the ambitious propaganda campaign planned between now and Election Day. An on-the-ropes White House plans to stop at nothing when rewriting its own record of defeat, not to be accused with defeatism, in a war that has now lasted longer than America's fight against the actual Nazis and in the World War. So there you go right there. Yeah. And also from today, from the Los Angeles Times, GOP's hold on the House shakier. This is from a lady named Ray Haug, a retired librarian in Northern Virginia. She, for years, happily voted to reelect her longtime congressman, Republican Frank R. Wolf. But the GOP record of the past 6 years on foreign policy, the economy, and the environment has so soured Haug that she wants to vote for a Democrat in this year's midterm election. Any Democrat. Powerful. I don't think I've ever before been willing to vote for someone just because of their party affiliation, she said. Who walked precincts on one sweltering Saturday for Judy Feeder, a Wolf's Democratic opponent, even though she knew little about her. The political landscape is crowded with disgruntled voters like Haug, who tell pollsters they don't like the direction the country has been taken under President Bush and Republican rule. No, not the Republican. Repulsivicans. I can't get that to roll on my tongue real well. The Repulsivicans. There you go. Who rule in the Congress. Also from today, from the Capitol Hill Blue, Bush diddles while Iraq burns. The Bush administration's claim that arrest of the number two... How many number two al-Qaeda leaders are there in Iraq? Seems like we've had number two al-Qaeda leaders the last 3 years getting captured. It says it'll stem the growing violence and the country's continued slide into civil war are viewed by military professionals as just another sham by a president who has lied repeatedly about the unpopular and failed war that will forever mark his presidency as a monumental failure. Absolutely. And the Pentagon senior officials privately refer to Bush as numbnuts. I love it. And call his actions nitshit. Some worry openly about the president's mental capability, and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs recently called a number of senior officers on the carpet and told them to tone down the rhetoric. Even British Prime Minister Tony Blair, one of Bush's few supporters in the international community, if he has any supporters left, I don't know, is looking for ways to distance himself from the president and recently allowed the Deputy Prime Minister John Prescott to openly call Bush's policies crap. Crazy. And I found this when I was looking through the CNN website. I found this from June 30th of 1996. GOP Congress blocked Clinton push for anti-terror legislation. Senator Orrin Hatch, he's still there, chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, emerged from the meeting and said, "These are very controversial provisions that the Clinton White House wants. Some they're not going to get." Hatch also said he had problems with the president's proposals to expand wiretapping. So Bill Clinton, rather than just breaking the law as Bush did, decided to go to the Republican Congress in 1996 and ask them for increased authority to do more eavesdropping in order to stop the terrorists. Stop September 11th. Senior Republican Senators Orrin Hatch, one of the GOP's top picks for the Supreme Court, and a GOP committee chair objected. The Republicans stopped President Clinton from getting all the tools he needed to stop the next December 11th. Well, no, actually, they opposed giving President Clinton all the tools he needed to stop the actual September 11th. Could September 11th have been stopped if the GOP had given President Clinton the tools he requested to stop Osama and Mohammed Atta from killing 3,000 people in New York, Pennsylvania, and Washington? Interesting. So when Clinton goes and asks for that stuff, they said no. So now they're backing Bush to the hilt. You know, so even Bush went around the Congress and as well. He ignored Congress, ignored FISA. So it's interesting, isn't it? That's a little tidbit. Thank you to the archives at CNN. Monday, from the Associated Press, more than 200 Taliban died in Afghanistan. This is the country is supposed to be. Aren't we supposed to be one of our accomplishments? Afghanistan is supposed to be an accomplishment. Warplanes and artillery pounded Taliban fighters hiding in orchards Sunday during a big Afghan NATO offensive that the alliance said killed more than 200 militants in its first 2 days. Four Canadian soldiers were killed. If the estimate is confirmed, the battle will be one of the deadliest since the U.S.-led forces ousted the Taliban regime 5 years ago. Reporters could not reach all of the combat zone because officials barred traffic from all but one road, blah, blah, blah. And so the NATO forces took command of security in Kandahar and other provinces in Afghanistan's volatile south from a U.S.-led coalition August 1st amid the worst fighting since the Taliban fell in late 2001. So, again, I ask you, going into $500 billion later, where are we in this war? You know, I mean, Afghanistan is a fiasco now, and now Iraq is more of a fiasco, and now Pakistan supposedly has made a deal with the Taliban or Al-Qaeda, whoever it is, that if they agree not to attack Al-Qaeda's or Taliban agree not to attack Pakistan's the troops, they won't go out of their way to apparently recapture or capture a UBL or something like that. I don't know. It was on Oberman was talking about today, so I may have gotten it a little bit wrong, but something to that effect with Pakistan. It made some kind of deal. And also for Monday, government asks to keep eavesdropping program. The Bush administration on Friday asked a federal judge to delay enforcing her order for a halt to the government's warrantless communication surveillance program. The Justice Department argued that ending the intelligence gathering program threatens the gravest of harms to the government and to the American people and leaves the country more vulnerable to terrorist attack. We respectfully submit that this court should not override the national security judgment of the president and the nation's senior intelligence officers regarding the harm that would result, blah, 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 blah. So Anna Diggs Taylor ruled last month in Detroit that the NSA's warrantless surveillance program is unconstitutional and ordered it be halted. So hopefully they'll keep it halted. We need more people to get stop this administration and slap it down a little bit, you know, especially with the Bush. He said something today in a speech that something with the media, he took a slap at the media. Maybe I get Rob on, he'll know. But it's like, holy Christopher, is he crazy? Yeah, I mean, now I hope the New York Times takes this as a signal they've been wanting to just to rip him apart, you know, limb by limb. You know, I'm sure there's plenty of dirt there that the New York Times hasn't unleashed about Bush yet. So I think now might be the time to do it. This is from a blog from Amygdala. This is from yesterday, and she said, it's a wonderful day in the neighborhood. Happy, happy, joy, joy, she says. Over the summer, the political battlefield has expanded well beyond the roughly 20 GOP House seats originally thought to be vulnerable. Now, some Republicans concede there may be almost twice as many districts from which Democrats could wrest the additional 15 seats they need to take control. So, yep, it's just going to keep spreading everything. Now even the Senate might be in a position to be taken over as well. So we'll see what happens. But don't count the Bush and Rove and them out yet. The crash and smear campaign has just started. This is from Tuesday from Michael Shelby from opednews.com. Resisting the death knell resisting the death knell of the Republic. We have discovered that America is on the brink of losing its freedoms, its identity, its very soul. We carry with us always the knowledge that this 230-year experiment in democracy could actually fail. Maybe not in our life, not in our lifetimes, but we might be witness to the slow tipping into the abyss of totalitarianism that our children and grandchildren will be made to suffer. Wow, it's $10 words on a $5 program, right? And what else is going on? The second problem is they've broken the cardinal rules regarding economic stability. The Republicans claim to hold dear. That was in Crimson Crystal. And from Monday, friends of Hillary hint she may pull out a presidential race. Oh, no. A recent poll for Time magazine showed that 53% of the electorate say they had a favorable impression of Clinton. I would not be surprised if she would decide that the best contribution she can make to her country is to forget about being president and become a consensus maker in the Senate, say leading Democratic Party insider. Probably John Kerry, hoping that she won't run, you know what I mean? She believes there is no trust between the two political sides and that we can't function as a democracy without it. The solution, insiders say, is for Clinton to take over as Senate Minority Leader in 2009 from lackluster Harry Reid. One respected blog, The Washington Note, recently claimed that Reid privately told Clinton that the job was hers if she gave up her presidential ambitions. So, I don't know what that's all about. I think Reed would want her to run. I don't know. Clinton has raised a whopping $33 million for a Senate re-election campaign in New York, which is likely to result in an emphatic victory for her in November. The leftover sums can be switched to a presidential bid. The size of her war chest is a sure sign that she intends to be ready to campaign at full tilt the moment she presses the go button. So I still think she's going to run, especially Bill Clinton. He wants her to run. So I think now is the best time as any to see if, you know, we can do this and pull this off and stick that heart through the GOP's heart, that stake through the heart of the grand out-of-control party and the Republicans. And from Monday from New York Times, 64 days before the election, the signs of Republican vulnerability are widespread. 64 days before the election, the signs of Republican vulnerability are widespread, according to a front-page story in Monday's New York Times. After a year of political turmoil, Republicans entered a fall campaign with their control of the House in serious jeopardy. The possibility of major losses in the Senate and a national mood so unsettled that districts once considered safely Republican are now competitive, according to analysts and strategists or strategies in both parties, says Robin Toner and Kate Zernicki from New York Times. So again, they say about the houses in play, the seats in the House in play are currently now the 15 to 20. The Democrats need 15 to regain its majority in the House. So I think it's going to happen. I have a good feeling. But also the Senate, as I said, Senate's turn to close in as well. The Democrats argue that in a big Democratic wave, they have chances in Tennessee. That's Harold Ford. I think he should be elected senator. Arizona and Virginia. Arizona is John Kyle, who's a Republican, the underling to McCain. So it'd be nice to see a Democrat get in there and stick it to McCain a little bit. And Virginia, where George Allen, a Republican, still dealing with the fallout from his macaca remark, demeaning term, blah, blah, blah. So he's in a nip-and-tuck battle with James Webb, a Democrat who used to be with the Reagan administration. And this is from the UK Sunday Telegraph from Monday. A top Iraqi religious leader says, "I can't save country from civil war." The most influential moderate Shia leader in Iraq has abandoned attempts to restrain his followers, admitting there is nothing he can do to prevent the country from sliding towards civil war. Aides say Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani is angry and disappointed that Shias are ignoring his calls for calm and are switching their allegiance in their thousands to more militant groups which promise protection from Sunni violence and revenge.
Jihad!
There they are. Absolutely. Crimson Crystal, thank you for the updates. Is trailing. Got caught saying stupid thing, blah, blah, blah. Like Dean was skewered 2 years ago. Yeah, they really bashed Dean over the head with some of his remarks. So he was on Face the Nation on Sunday, and he didn't really stick his foot in his mouth this time, so obviously somebody's gotten to him. So he did all right. I still think he'd make the ideal liberal equivalent to Rush Limbaugh if they were smart about it, but they're not. And actually, I know Hillary Clinton, supposedly, she's forming her own kind of a DNC in her own campaign committee there. She's got Terry McAuliffe as a former Democrat DNC chair. He's in there, so they're actually forming their own Democratic National Committee there to be as a counter to Dean's DNC. So, and one more before we take our break, and I get Rob Call on the line. From the Sunday Capitol Blue, desperate acts by a failed president. As the fifth anniversary of 9/11 nears, President Bush is finding it increasingly hard to make good on foreign policy promises or threats. Bush faces a daunting number of simultaneous international crises as he tries to shore up flagging support at home for the Iraq War and roll back nuclear programs in Iran and North Korea. Sectarian violence remains rampant in Iraq. Suicide attacks are increasing in Afghanistan, and a truce in southern Lebanon between Israel and Hezbollah guerrillas is wobbly. Iran and North Korea ignore his insistence that they must not have nuclear weapons or nuclear weapons. Syria turns a deaf ear to U.S. demands that stop supporting terrorism. The U.N. Security Council deadline came and went on Thursday for Iran to stop uranium enrichment. Yet veto-wielding Russia and China are resisting Bush's call for stiff sanctions. Some analysts suggest Bush has overreached. or set the bar impossibly high, laying out goals he cannot achieve while not acknowledging blunders, spreading democracy, eradicating terrorism, ending Iran's nuclear program potential. Those are huge goals. When one makes it an assessment and sees that none of these is closer to being achieved, it becomes a real problem for America's credibility, says a Mideast scholar at the University of Maryland. So, wow. So with that, we'll take our music interlude, and I'll get Rob Call on the line, and we'll be right back in just a couple minutes. But to date, this government has proved little besides its own arrogance and its own...
But to date, this government has proved little besides its own arrogance and its own hubris. Mr. Rumsfeld is also personally confused, morally or intellectually, about his own standing in this matter. From Iraq to Katrina to flu vaccine shortages to the entire fog of fear which continues to envelop our nation, he, Mr. Bush, Mr. Cheney, and their cronies have, inadvertently or intentionally, profited and benefited, both personally and politically. And yet he can stand up in public and question the morality and the intellect of those of us who dare ask just for the receipt for the emperor's new clothes. In what country was Mr. Rumsfeld raised? As a child, of whose heroism did he read? On what side of the battle for freedom did he dream one day to fight? With what country has he confused the United States of America? The confusion we, as its citizens, must now address is stark and forbidding. The variations of it have faced our forefathers when men like Nixon and McCarthy and Curtis LeMay have darkened our skies and obscured our flag. Note, with hope in your heart, that those earlier Americans always found their way to the light, and we can too. The confusion is about whether this Secretary of Defense and this administration are in fact now accomplishing what they claim the terrorists seek, the destruction of our freedoms, the very ones for which the same veterans Mr. Rumsfeld addressed yesterday in Salt Lake City so valiantly fought. And about Mr. Rumsfeld's other main assertion, that this country faces a new type of fascism, as he was correct to remind us how a government that knew everything could get everything wrong. So too was he right when he said that, though probably not in the way he thought he meant it. This country faces a new type of fascism, indeed.
There's an old saying in Tennessee, I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. It fooled me. We can't get fooled again.
To seniors, we understand how important prescription drug coverage. So prescription drugs will be an integral part of the Medicare plan.
The law signed today directs new funds and new focus to the task of collecting vital intelligence on terrorist threats and on weapons of mass production.
And we are back for Subject to Discussion Live on LVRocks.com as well as on S2DRadio.com. And now we'll be joined by Mr. Rob Call of OpEdNews.com. Rob, are you there, sir?
I am. How you doing?
Oh, no problem. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And give everybody out there a little idea about what you're all about and as well as OpEd News. It's a wonderful site, but I'll let you sum it up.
Well, it's a progressive news opinion site that has a lot of articles and blogging.
Absolutely.
And diaries and comments. And we kind of do things different than virtually every other site on the web because we've built our own software, so we do it our way.
Really? Because I'm on it now. It is. Every time I go around, I'm like, how come it's not the typical website everybody's used to? You know what I'm saying?
Well, it has a lot of the common features. If you go to the front page, there's a lot of articles. There's some headline articles. Then you slide down below the fold, and then there are columns for op-eds that we've published and news that we publish or link to and best op-eds on the web. And then there are diaries that our members post.
Yeah.
And then we have a huge table of contents with close to 1,000 different subjects that we cover, and each one has its own page. Then we have hundreds of different locales for each country and each state and a lot of counties and cities, so that because we've tried to create a way to build a site that can, if people want, develop their own local progressive news. And I don't think there's really anything like that out there. So
no.
if you want to, like, I live in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and if you go to the Bucks County page, there's a lot of articles there because the people there have gotten to know it. And we've had we have people from a couple places who have put in lots of articles for their locales.
Absolutely, because now it's just incredible. Because you have that article up in the left about Pakistan signs the peace accord with the Taliban, and
that's a hot one. That's a very hot one. You know, Oberman was talking tonight about questioning whether that was confirmed or not, and we've got a reporter right there giving the details of exactly what happened.
It's amazing. I mean, Bush has got to be spitting mad or humiliated by this, huh?
I'm sure he's in denial, or he's been blissfully ignorant of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just we were talking when we were playing the music and all that about Oberman and taking Rumsfeld apart last week, and tonight he took after Bush a little bit. And you say you're worried about Oberman that they might use their thumb and grind him down like they did Donahue a few years ago, huh?
Yes, that is something I've been worried about. Oberman's a really heroic journalist, of one of a very few.
Yeah, I mean, he's come out swinging. He's always been critical, but I say in the last 6 months, he's really stepped it up a little bit. You know what I mean? A little more, because they throw all this nonsense at you about, if you disagree with Bush, you're a Nazi appeaser or a Nazi sympathizer, whatever that, you're throwing the Nazi bit. So Oberman's starting to throw the red meat back at him,
Well, let's face it. I think one of the first articles I published on my site was one by Tom Hartman comparing Bush to the Nazis. And, we've been doing it on the left, comparing them to Nazis. I think we've got a more accurate analogy going than they do. I think they're pretty lame and desperate, and they're getting more desperate. And, let's face it, in the next couple months before the election, there's some desperate action, not just talk, going to be taken.
Absolutely.
I'm sure they're going to be arresting some more bozos who make jokes about terrorism. Mm. I'm sure they're going to be requiring that you can't carry on Vaseline or condoms on the airplane or something like that.
Oh, yeah, because Vaseline is petroleum jelly. They could be saying some kind of way you can use the condom with the Vaseline to create some kind of explosive or something like that.
Exactly.
I mean, they're just really reaching. Somebody else said it. I forgot what show it was. Maybe it was Oberman's. I don't know. I get them all mixed up. What if they decide that you could hide some kind of explosive in your hair to have everybody shaving their head at the checkpoint at the airport,
I'm already there. My head's shaved. So.
Well, I mean, just how far are they going to take this? I mean, are we really going to give up, all of our liberties, just for the sake of this,
Oh, it's happened.
Yeah.
They're doing it already.
The election, you say the election's coming up. Now, how are you feeling about this election? You really think the House is going to go Democrat, or is it still like up for grabs?
It all depends on who's counting the votes. We've got a huge, huge library, thousands of articles that we've either published or linked to on voting integrity and electronic voting, and it's really scary what we've seen happen down in South Florida with the Busby Bilbray election, where they made it official. Kastrup made it official before they even made it official in the counting. It's just totally scary and disgusting, and if it's a harbinger of what we can expect in a few months, then doesn't matter how people vote.
Well, and you also had the story I can't find out about the machines in Ohio are still a mess, and yet the Secretary of State, that clown there, he's running for office, and he sees no problem with the machines and all that.
The good news there is you're talking about Ken Blackwell.
Yes.
He's on my worst of worst list. He's one of the people I'd like to see get capital punishment for murdering democracy. But the good news is that it looks like he's doing pretty badly in the gubernatorial race he's in. He's behind a lot. Of course, when he's controlling who's counting the votes, that may not matter. We'll see. That happened in a number of elections already.
Well, the same thing with me. Like at Badillac in Florida, she's been going down in flames in her election with Nelson, which is, you know, she's got that coming to her. I'm glad. Hopefully, she goes down in flames. You know.
Again, you know, while the numbers all seem to be against her, wouldn't it be amazing if there was a miraculous switch of 5 or 10 or 15 points overnight at the voting booths? Wouldn't it just be remarkable?
Mm.
Now that they're all electronic and they can all be fiddled with.
Yeah. Would she have the nerve to meddle in her own election? I don't know.
That's a rhetorical question that I think we both have the answer to.
Now I'm wondering, she's running for Senate now. Now, has she given up her House seat? I think she has, hasn't she?
I don't believe so.
Oh.
No, she's doing a Joe Lieberman, I think. I guess maybe she is giving it up as of January because she's not running for Congress again.
So. Yeah. Well, that's good. At least get her out of there. And same with Lieberman. Yeah, he's a poor sport. I don't know who, you know, he's holier than thou. I mean, why? You know,
has always been for Joe. It's, you know, like when he was running for vice president, mm-hmm. he refused to not run for senator, even if he had won with a Republican governor. It would have cost the Democrats a Senate seat. His loyalty is to Joe.
Oh yeah. I said a couple weeks ago. He wants to stay in the Senate because he doesn't want to have to wait in line at the Denny's with the rest of us. He wants to be able to go walk in and get seated right off the bat. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah. And I say he's a poor supporter. He doesn't have respect for the voters of Connecticut and their decision to vote him out. You know?
Well, look, his most loyal fans are Sean Hannity and Ann Coulter and George Bush and the head of the RNC, and they don't have respect for anybody except for their corporate sponsors.
Yeah.
There's no respect on the right.
No,
it's power and greed and religious nuts. Take your choice.
Yeah, because Hannity is just a sneering ditto head. You know what I mean? He does a poor imitation of Limbaugh. You know what I mean? He'll never get to the audacity of Limbaugh. That's why I'm saying Hannity should just hang it up. You know what I'm saying?
Limbaugh's made an art of it, hasn't he?
He absolutely has. Now, what about this thing about him going to be on the CBS Evening News on Thursday? Did you hear about that?
I have not.
Oh. No. I don't know if it's going to be a regular spot on there or not because, you know, Katie Couric started today. And he has a segment called Free Speech. They had some filmmaker on there today, rallying off on something. I wasn't paying that much attention. And then I guess on Thursday, Limbaugh is going to be up there talking. It's only like a 1 or 2 minute little editorial. But it's amazing. I keep going to Limbaugh.
Well, you know, we run a couple polls where we were the first progressive news and opinion site to run to commission a public opinion poll with the national polling organization. We've done a couple of them with Zogby, and the last one we did, we asked people where they got their news, which TV news source, and CBS was associated in the crosstabs with the most liberal viewers.
Hmm.
So maybe they're trying to balance it out. After Fox, NBC was the most conservative of them all.
Wow. That kind of surprises me, huh? I guess now you think about it. Is that counting MSNBC in there as well? Or
MSNBC is not as major a player. They were somewhere in the middle, really. And, you know, they've got that mix. They go from Oberman to Scarborough. I mean,
yeah. Well, and then you got Hannity. I'm on a Hannity punching bag right now, but Chris Matthews. I mean, he kind of has it both ways. You know, one day he comes out, he's letting Bush have it. Then the other day, he's kind of giving him a pass. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, they give him passes when it's convenient, when it's a soft issue, when it doesn't count, when it's not that important.
Yeah. Now, what about think the Democrats are supposed to have this? They're going to have this proclamation. Apparently, in Congress, they're going to have a no confidence vote in Rumsfeld. That's not going to get too far. But what do you think about that?
I think it's a good idea. I think it's forcing their opponents who they're running against to take a stand so that they can nail them on it. I think Rumsfeld is pretty unpopular, and it's a smart move.
Yeah, he's a hack. I mean, up there, and he's in the hospital now for a rotator cuff. Maybe they can remove his head from his ass while they're at it, huh?
Yeah, that's what they're really doing. You know, we had on Meet the Press, we had our Senate candidates here in Pennsylvania, Santorum and Casey, debating on Sunday.
How'd that go?
It was interesting, and one of the first things that Casey did was say, "I'd like to see Rumsfeld removed. Where do you stand, Rick?" And he nailed Santorum down, pushing him and getting him to say, "I think he's doing great." You know, it was a real "you're doing a great job, Brownie" moment, you know.
Yeah, well, now Casey can cut that into a commercial and blast Santorum the last 6 weeks of the election, huh?
We'll see. Casey hasn't been doing much. He's been just letting Santorum simmer in his own right-wing juices there. And the latest poll put him with an 18-point lead over Santorum, which is amazing.
Oh, yeah, that'd be incredible. Well, Santorum, he's the lunatic that... a couple months ago, he came out and said, "Oh, they found the weapons of mass destruction and all that." And turns out it's the disregarded shreds of stuff they found a year or so ago.
Well, he's talking to his moron base. Mm. You know, if you listen to Rush Limbaugh long enough, you get really stupid. You stop thinking, your brain stops working, and you just say, "Yeah." Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the ditto heads, right?
Those ditto heads are amazing. It's amazing because, I get lots of hate mail.
Oh, I bet.
And, you can just tell because they spout the exact same phrases and talking points, all of them. And there's no conversation to be had with them. Although there is one book on that was written by a former ditto head who woke up. And that's what I think it's all about. You know, I have changed my attitudes towards former Republicans. I voted Democratic ever since I've been voting, and my family was Democratic. But I've really come to believe that the solution to saving this country is we've got to wake up the Republicans and the people who have been voting Republican and voting on the right. And once they wake up, well. It's like they're okay. It's like you can talk to them. It's like they've got a brain. They can see instead of being among those who have been drinking the Kool-Aid, taking the Jim Jones path for America.
Mm. Well, yeah, I mean, it's just if they got to see the light. I mean, the gas prices are, now they're starting to fall down again. Miraculously, as we get closer to the election, the gas prices are falling. How can that be? Is that a coincidence? What do you think?
Oh, well, look. I expect they'll be below $2.50 a gallon by the time the election day happens.
Mm.
I'd bet on it.
Yeah, it'll be a miracle, right?
it's a natural. they're Bush's friends.
That's right. They want to save the Republicans' asses in the election. But I think that these games that they play, I think the American people are waking up to this stuff. Same thing with the scare tactics with now we're Nazi. 65% of the country who doesn't agree with Bush are now we're all Nazi appeasers and all that. Isn't that ridiculous?
Right.
Especially what was her name? Condoleezza Rice. She said today she compared it the people who. Don't agree with them as those who would support slavery or something like that. I don't know how she had the nerve to go off and compare that.
Well, she gets away with it because we have, for the most part, our mainstream media is a stenographic media. They just let these people say whatever garbage they say without challenging them, without questioning them. And it's part of the reason that our mainstream media are such a failure. We need more people like you, more media like what you're doing, to save America. Really, it's not just saving America from the Republicans; it's saving them from the weak, spineless Democrats too.
Yeah,
we've got an awful lot of them. Lieberman is not alone.
No, there's many of them. They said they get Democrats. I like Dean, I don't know if you watched Face the Nation, but he did pretty well yesterday. He didn't stick his foot in his mouth like he sometimes does, you know what I mean? But he held his own, and I hope there's enough people waking up that they're going to realize enough of this crap with the Bush and the GOP,
Well, the problem is the GOP repeats a couple of talking point mantras. They say that the Democrats are tax and spend, they're big government, and they have no new ideas. And every one of those things is a total lie, a total lie. And you know, the fact is that Democrats have tons of new ideas. The Republicans don't like them, so they dismiss them. But there are plenty of great ideas that the Democrats have. The Republicans do a lot bigger government than the Democrats, and so that's a lie. And when it comes to tax and spend, you know, you can argue, and just about anywhere you go, that for most people, unless you're making more than $200,000 or more a year, that you're probably paying more in local property taxes, you're paying higher bills for your kids' tuition, you're paying higher for gas, and it all adds up. You end up paying it in a different way when you get your tax breaks from the Republicans. So, you know, we've really got to fight on every one of those talking points. And when they start accusing us on any of those issues, we got to come back hard and fast. And we got to say, you're crazy. It's a lie. And we've got to let them just know that there is another answer to it.
Absolutely. Same thing with this John Murtha. I mean, they've been smearing him since he came out with the whole thing in the Haditha. And it turns out he's been right about that all along.
And he doesn't take it either.
No.
He just comes right back at them and throws their nonsense and their lies in their faces. One thing that I put together from our last poll, it took a while to get it together, was I did an analysis. We asked a lot of questions in our poll about different issues. And I identified a batch of issues that are, I believe, kind of like progressive wedge issues. You know, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, got a dead silence.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm listening intently.
Okay, the right wingers have gay marriage and flag burning, and those are issues that you know excites their base, and that those on the left don't agree to. But we have some great issues, really, that if you go to the website, opednews.com, it's one of the main headline articles on the right. It's called Wedge Issues and Winning Issues for Democrats. And it lists, with the poll results, about 8 or 9 different issues that I think are really strong ones. Like, for example, should Bush initiate the Iran war without congressional approval? Well, hardly anybody approves that idea.
Yeah,
and that only 27% of Republicans and 32% of Independents think he should, while 62% of Independents are opposed to that. And I looked primarily at the Independents because that's where the real biggest balance is going to switch, I think.
Yeah, I am on it now. Yeah, I'm going through all the polls. Health insurance for all Americans. I mean, now Hillary Clinton's looked like a genius when, was it 9, 10 years ago when she first, they wanted that, the health care for all, you know?
Health insurance for all is a tougher one that's not as strong as hitting a couple of specific issues. Like, I ask about birth control reimbursement through health insurance. Now, that's a really interesting issue. Birth control is something that all these anti-abortion, pro-life people, a big chunk of them are really opposed to birth control, too, because it's really about controlling women, and it's the whole church thing.
True.
It's not just about life at all.
I mean, do these Republicans want to raise all these unwanted children, or they want their taxes to go up to pay for foster homes?
They want to have very cheap minimum wage workers.
Yeah.
That's what they want, and they don't care about them, and they have them uninsured, and they let them die. That's the way it used to be when serfdom was the way of the land. You didn't make it, too bad.
Yeah.
But so this birth control issue is a very interesting one because the numbers are really strong. Even 55% of Republicans support it, and as far as independents, it's 68% to 24% supporting it. Those are really strong numbers, and so that's an issue that I really think a lot of campaigns ought to get on top of. So is election reform.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
election reform. It's amazing. The overall, 72% of people wanted it. And that means take the money out of the campaigns. If somebody can qualify by getting enough names on petitions, they get the same amount of money as every other person, and it takes out the special interests. That's what Americans want, big time.
Yeah.
Over 70%. And yet, you know, how are we going to find politicians who are going to agree to do that after they've already gone through the spending a year of their life on the phone asking for money, which is what a candidate does now?
Yeah, I mean, especially as watching Hardball with Joe Biden was on there, and he was saying how much money he's got to have to be competitive in those primaries. He's got to have between 30 and 35 million by the time those first four caucuses and primaries hit. And he said he's got to have in there. He goes, he's in a separate, different league than Hillary Clinton because she's going to be way out in front. I mean, but it's sickening how much money. He's a sitting senator. He's got to run around like a panhandler looking for money.
You want to talk about Hillary?
I have a feeling you don't like her very much, huh?
Well, I think that the mainstream media and the right wing are dying to have her as the candidate. And you have to look at what they want and what they don't want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they destroyed Dean by replaying that three-second shriek of his thousands of times.
Yeah.
And I believe they did that because they thought he had the best shot, and they knocked him out.
Mm-hmm.
I think they think that Hillary has no chance of winning, and that's why they want her in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've been pushing her when I don't think that there's any reason to think that she's the best candidate at all.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, she's way too conservative for me. She's a DLC Democrat, and as far as I'm concerned, the DLC, the Democratic Leadership Council, which is the right wing of the Democratic Party, is the part of the party that jellies the spines of Democrats, that turns people who start out tough with standards and guts and turns them into wimps that don't stand up for issues. And I really believe that what we need are candidates who are willing to take tough stands and speak out on the truth and not hide behind position papers and coaching from the DSCC and the DCCC.
Yeah. Well, how about, like, I admire Russ Feingold immensely. The Republicans ganged up on him because you know they're afraid of him because he's an anti-war candidate through and through.
He's great. I really like him a lot.
Yeah, he, especially that censure business, they let him have it over that. I mean, they went, 2 weeks bashing him over the head about the censure. I mean, censure is the least they should do with Bush over this BS in Iraq. You know?
Our polls found, though, that it's not a real strong issue to run on.
Hmm.
I agree. I would love to see Bush censured, but the fact is that independents don't respond to it, and a lot of the things regarding negatives, people are not very responsive to. We did a decent amount of polling. My next article along these lines will be coming out on the issues that are not really that strong in terms of helping a candidate, and that's one of them. The independents, a plurality of them respond negatively to it, and it's not even that strong for Democrats. I think that it's got to be framed in a different way. I think we've got to wait till we get in there, and once we get in there, start investigating. And I think that just about everybody is interested in getting good, clean investigations started.
Absolutely. I've said that, too. I mean, when they take office in January, that blizzard of subpoenas should hit that White House and really wake them up. I mean,
Tom Hayden wrote a piece talking about a Republican apocalypse that would happen if they lose, because they're going to be investigated down to the bottom levels of hell.
Mm.
And I think that whatever happens this fall, there's going to be an apocalypse. Either the Republicans are going to see the end of their power and they're going to be investigated and the dirt is going to fly, or the Republicans are going to win and then it's an apocalypse for the United States, because another 2 years without at least one house controlled by the opposition, Bush and the Republicans are going to just tear this country apart, privatize everything they can, appoint so many judges that even the judiciary system will be useless, and we're going to end up with a country that doesn't look anything like what our parents grew up looking at. And
wow.
It's going to be a scary thing, and you know, we have a couple of writers and a page on our site for American emigration. Not immigration, emigration, leaving America, because people are doing it.
Wow. Well, with that, Rob Call, we'll let you go. We're at the end of our time with you. Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure.
We'll have you on again.
Pleasure.
All right. Thank you very much, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. You have a good night. And it was Mr. Rob Call, a very strong guest, very nice. You could tell he's still left of me, obviously, but very nice getting his view on everything and very interesting. And then we'll be right back in our second hour with Jamie from she's Scully Girl. She'll be on for our Stargate reviews. And then following her will be Net Ranger, the rocket scientist, with our fall TV preview. We'll be right back.
To run.